you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Welcome back to another edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm your guest host, Rob Artigo, writer and entrepreneur here in California. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Rob. Good to be with you again today.
Ray, would you trust a weatherman who had no training or experience predicting the weather?
Well, he wouldn't be called a weatherman, would he? So,
hey, they'll hire people to do anything these days. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you know, I would never hire a doctor who claimed he knew something he didn't know. That's for sure.
Yeah. In your experience, what does it take to predict what's going to happen down the road?
It takes a lot of knowledge, a huge amount of knowledge, and even more importantly, experience. There's no experience is not a substitute for knowledge.
Yeah.
It is, or vice versa. So it is what defines your capability is your experience.
Why is that kind of prognostication necessary when running a business? Why is it necessary to be able to forecast events down the road?
Because there's always going to be downturns, dips in your business, and having the ability to forecast those and then prepare for them will determine your success. So the further you can look out, and in my mind, in my experience, you know, being able to look out at least a year and a half to 2 years ahead of a dip or downturn will be crucial in your successfully running your business. So don't minimize the ability to predict the future.
Have you ever been on a submarine? Or let's put it this way, any naval vessel, an actual U.S. military naval vessel?
Well, I've been in one of those sightseeing subs.
Oh, yeah, that'll work. That's a good example. Yeah. Yeah, did they tell you to duck a lot? Watch your head?
Yeah. Because I'm so short, I didn't have to duck much, but yeah.
Well, you know, I think of these, if you've ever been on one and you've walked around for a while, they have very low doors and everything says, watch your head on it. And you walk in there and smack your head on that hard metal. You learn something. And you don't, and you try not to do it again. And there's no guarantees you won't, but you try not to do it again. But the way your mind works is, okay, I'm going to the sub. Watch your head. You've learned something. What you're describing here is day in and day out of having these experiences where you hit your head on something, you stub your toe on something, you slam your finger in a car door. But all metaphorically speaking here, any kind of experience where you learn something that over decades of experience, you can't replace that when it comes to looking down the road or seeing the dynamics in the world right now and going, okay, this is likely to happen in a certain period of time and my business needs to be prepared for it.
You know, it's interesting that how many of us have seen somebody do something that you said, you know, they're going to regret doing that because we know from our knowledge and experience that doing what they're doing is going to be harmful to them down the road, whether it be a bad habit that they're indulging in or whether they're doing something stupid in their business. You're going to say, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I mean, as my mother used to say, don't run out in the street without looking both ways and don't run in the street, period. But
right.
If you got to cross the street, look both ways. So, you know, that comes through experience or knowledge and or experience. We still do dumb things. And the reason we do them is because we either forget the lesson we learned prior or we just are not paying attention.
Is the environment different now than it was when you started Micrel it was 1960? What year? 1978, you started Micrel and the dynamics of the business environment in Silicon Valley there. You did semiconductor work. now look at the world today and the way people in business operate. Are the younger people who are starting businesses, are you seeing that they're having a harder time seeing, predicting the future, so to speak, as opposed to, you know, when you were a kid and you started Mike Krell?
Well, it depends upon the kind of business you're in. And in Silicon Valley, of course, high tech, that's the business. And when I started my company in 78, you know, things were a little different. But that's what time changes. Time changes the difference between this year and last year. And so, you know, you just have to, you know, keep moving with the cheese, as they say. So it things will change dynamically, and you'll have to modify your plan or your strategy to match the conditions that you're facing today. So the conditions were different back then, but that doesn't mean the principles or the things that are kind of standards, as you would, changed any. Those are still the same. But the conditions that you operate under are going to change from time to time, you know, as the world changes, as the world turns, as they say. So, you know, being able to recognize how things are changing, you know, the old buggy whip story, you know, when the automobile came out, the guys were making buggy whips, soon found themselves in trouble because people had switched to cars. You don't need a buggy whip for a car. So then all they had were people who recreationally were using buggies just to play around with. Mm-hmm. But those aren't the size of that market has shrunk dramatically. So don't be caught making buggy whips when there's no demand for them.
Yeah, and you didn't. You almost 40 years as head of Mike Krell, and you saw several dips that your company weathered the storm, and you used this knowledge base that you had to predict that certain dips were coming and do something about that.
Yeah, for example, in 99 or 98, 99 timeframe, when we had the dot-com boom, I could see that inventories were beginning to balloon beyond what I considered normal, because they're always, you know, there's always ratios that we look at. And I look at these ratios. I look at what's in balance and what's out of balance. It's kind of looking at a swimming pool, and if it's turning green, you know that you're lacking chlorine, and you should add chlorine to get the pool back normal again. So I could see that these ratios were getting out of whack, so I prepared my company in late 99 mid 99. For this downturn that we experienced in 2001, when we had the implosion of the dot-com. And that's so the way I caught that was I just looked at the inventory buildup, and I could see they're building inventory faster than they were selling it. And so we backed off. We got our inventories in line where other companies were building inventory to match the increase in demand. We were cutting back, and that saved us. That allowed us to skate through the dot-com implosion, which was one of the worst in our industry's history. We came through very, very well. So that's an example of being able to predict the future and how it helped our company.
Thanks again for your time, Ray.
Thank you, Rob.
And find out more at toughthingsfirst.com, Tough Things First on Facebook, and of course you can find out more about the book on Facebook and toughthingsfirst.com, but you're also available on Twitter. And the book is available on Amazon.
Yeah, and also share these podcasts with your friends. If they're helpful to you, I'm sure they're going to be helpful to others. So please share these. This is how we'll get the word out.
Good advice. You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.